Good evening, class. I hope you had a good holiday, and I hope you did well on your exam. But today, we're going to begin with our first lesson in our spring semester, going to be How God Established His Kingdom. Our scripture reference is going to be Hebrews 1 and 22. No, I'm sorry, Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, Acts 5, 32, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, 1 Peter 1:22, Luke 17:21. We're not going to cover all this scripture, maybe not tonight, but those are included within our the volume of our lesson. Now, I want to begin just to understand what it means when how God established His kingdom. The whole purpose of God after the fall of Adam was to reestablish His kingdom upon the earth. Now He had to undo what Adam has done. And now He has to go through His plan of redemption. And the first thing He had to do was to set up His kingdom through, I want to say, the men that whom He had to go through a few different people to establish His kingdom. But you're going to, as we find out, first of all, that the first thing happened, He tried through Adam to set up His kingdom. Adam failed. Then He tried again through Noah and his family, Genesis 9. We find out that they failed. They began to rebel against God. And then God decided that He was going to choose Abraham to be the father of many nations. And God called Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Matter of fact, Genesis 1, 2, 3. Turn your Bible there with me quickly. That's our first scripture. And I want to be able to look through it to give you heads up on exactly where we're going with this lesson here. So Genesis chapter 12, begin with verses 1, 2, 3. Remember now, God is setting up His kingdom upon the earth, because we're going to find out God's authority on the earth has to come through His kingdom. And so if His kingdom not established, then He has no way to reign and rule and have dominion upon the earth. Adam sold us out. So now He got to be able to come in and rule and reign upon His people, chosen people upon the earth. So Genesis 12 began at verse 1. It reads as follows. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you, and I will make thee great, a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will bless thy name, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Third verse says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that was the beginning of God's plan to bring His kingdom to Abram. God, now listen to these notes here. God could not use the nation as it was presently, the nation of Israel. God tried it, but they always found rebellion within the nation. But God had to create a nation out of Abraham, a nation that will find a place where there could be obedience so He can come through and work His redemption plan. God always needs obedience to be able to do anything in His earth realm, even then and more so now. If you're not obedient, God can't work out His plan through you. Even though God have a personal plan He want to work out through us individually, first of all, He does it through the church. Then the church can delegate those whom God who want to set apart. But He always has to have obedience. If that obedience is not found, He can't set His kingdom up like He choose to. So His intention was to set up His kingdom through Abram. Abram was succeeded by the election of Isaac, if you remember your Bible study, and then later of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. Now remember, the 12 tribes came out of Jacob. And the descendants of Jacob multiplied greatly under the Egyptian oppression or the Egyptian rule. Therefore, God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt that they might establish a new nation. Now, follow me now. If you read your Bible history, you know God, what he did was he called Moses from the backside of the mountain, and he sent him forth. He said, I want to deliver my people, Israel, out of Egypt. He God said, I'm going to show you a strong, they're going to come out with a strong hand. But now he said, I need to establish a new nation out of these people. But because there was disobedience among, although there was disobedience, lost my notes. But because there was disobedience among them, God led the Israelites through the wilderness in order to teach them obedience. Now, there's always, I got to put a little peg right here, but there's always wilderness time. Wilderness brings out obedience. Why? Because in wilderness, it could be described as testing. It could be uninhabited places you've never been. And remember that they came. God brought them out with silver and gold, but they couldn't spend any money in Egypt. I mean, in the wilderness, there was no place to buy food. There was no place to trade. So they had to depend on God for everything. And so that wilderness was designed to test them, to prove them, to put some things in them, take some things out of them, to put a dependency on God and a spirit of obedience through them. But yet there was some not obedient. Nevertheless, they persisted in their rebellion. Remember Korah, Abiram, and Dathan? Well, we went through those lessons. You can find out how they rebelled against Moses. But there was still rebellion present, and they were persisting in their rebellion. Matter of fact, it resulted in a whole generation dying on the way. That first generation didn't make it. But I think it was the Joshua, we call it the Joshua generation. The first generation, they all rebelled, and they died in the wilderness. And because they claim, Lord, you brought us out here for us and our children to die. We were doing okay in Egypt. So they rebelled against God. And so that generation, because of their unbelief, and because they doubted God, and because they rebelled, they did not see or go to the inheritance or get to the promised land that God promised them. God always had a promised land ahead of them, set up for them, but they refused to go. Sometimes God has already set up his plan in your life. Because of our disobedience, we refuse to see the end of the testing. There's always an end of testing. There's always an end of God trying your heart and proving you to see what's in your heart, like in the children of Israel in the wilderness. Take the test. Take the rebuke. Take the correction, because it's bringing us to a place of submission and understanding authority and obedience. And without that spirit of obedience, God cannot, let me say this. God cannot trust you with the true riches. So he had to get an obedient people. If not, you make another round in the wilderness. Remember, this 40 years in the wilderness, it was a 40-day journey. How do I know that? Because the 12 spies took the trip to the land of milk and honey. And it was a 40-day journey. But it took Israel, the children of Israel, 40 years. And I think sometimes that 40 years lasts because of disobedience. You know, every time you fail a test, you know, you got to almost take it over again with God. And you can get to a place where it prolonged your promotion. Disobedience prolonged your promotion. And sometimes suffering, we don't like the word suffering. Suffering is a taking away of the flesh, a taking away stripping you of some things that hinder you from being obedient. And sometimes that suffering, which is made for you to prevail, if not handled right, you'll fail. What God designed to make you prevail, if you handle it wrong, will cause you to fail. God never intends for us to fail. But if you don't handle suffering right, which sometimes could be result in correction, a dying of self, then what happened is you'll fail to be or to do or to experience what God wants you to experience. Some people lag in life. Some people go for years and years taking the same test over, never seeing the promised land, never getting to the place where God wants them to get, because they always have their own mind. And sometimes God have to strip. He told one of the prophets, Jeremiah, I want you to go tear down. I want you to pull down. And then after you did all of these tearing, pulling down, he said, then it's time to build. It's time to build. Now, I wonder how many people then got to the place of building. I wonder how many God is through pulling down some things in your life. And sometimes he wants to get you to, he said, I wish I can get to the place where I can start building in you. And sometimes you got to get there. It takes dying to get there. It takes forgetting of self to get there. Why? God want to procure a nation for himself. God want to procure you and cause you to come to a place where whatever God says, you do, and without any self, what word I'm going to use? Self, I don't know, what you want to do it yourself. You want to get some glory out of yourself. Not for the cause of the kingdom. Selfish desires. I don't know why some people do certain things. To be seen of men. I'm trying to find the right words to never to glorify God, to be exalted themselves. He that humbled himself shall be exalted. He that exalted himself shall be promoted. I like Apostle. Well, he always used the scripture in John 3 and 30. John the Baptist made this statement when he found out that Jesus had started preaching the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus had started baptizing. And then the disciples told him, he said, Jesus is baptized. He said, yeah, he must increase. And I must decrease. You got to come to the place of where you're willing to decrease. That's dying to yourself. Dying to your own will. Dying to your own vision. Dying to what you want to do. It takes time sometimes. Just don't let it take 40 years. You don't take 40 years to die. Only rebellious people take 40 years to die. So they persisted in their rebellion against God. And this resulted in the whole generation falling dead in the way. Even though the second generation succeeded in entering Canaan, they still did not hearken to God's word with a perfect heart. What God looking for? A perfect heart. Even though the second generation, the Joshua generation did. Then the Canaanites, why? Because they could not drive the Canaanites completely out of the land. Because of disobedience. If they were obedient and listened to God, it wouldn't have been no problem driving all the Canaanites out of the land. But the hard heart in the rebellion wouldn't permit God to let them do it. So it has some Canaanite ways. You see it? And so you couldn't get the full blessing of God because it didn't get to the full promise. He didn't receive the full promise. Now, Saul, within his second generation, Saul became the first king, but he too rebelled, and the kingdom could not be established. You remember the story with Saul. We went through it, I think, well enough for you to understand. Saul had some personal issues that he dealt with and he had to deal with, and he told God, he said, I obey you, I fully obey you. God said, no, what's all the bleating of the sheep I hear in my ear? You know, Saul had his own intention. You see it? We saved King Agag alive, and God said to slay them all. You see, perfect obedience is when you fulfill what God wants. When you follow through all the way through what God wants. See, just like your pastor, your leader give you an assignment, and you start the assignment, but you don't finish it. And so he have an incomplete assignment. But still you want to say, yeah, but I started the groundwork of it. No, but you didn't finish the project. Sometimes sometime you got to finish what you started. Sometimes you got to stay long enough to finish what you started. And sometimes people don't like to be corrected when they're doing a project. They don't like to say it's not right. Do it over again. No, they don't. That's testing. That's trying. God trying to get you somewhere. But no, you can't get upset. No, no, no. You got to do it the way authority wants it done. Just like Saul. God wants Saul to do it a certain way, but Saul has his own ideas. He implemented. No, he won't keep the best of the sheep, the best of the ram. Then he had a reason. I'm going to offer him on the altar to the Lord. God don't want you offering if it's not ordered by him. God wants what he's ordered. And so now we find out that you got this assignment that your pastor didn't give you, but you got your own ideas how you want to finish it. But no, it don't work like that. And then you want to get offended because they don't like your idea. No, but that's not the way they wanted it. Oh, see, I'm getting excited because I know how this thing works. You got to do exactly like they want it and then finish the project. Finish it the way they want. And then give God the glory for it. Amen. Now, I just took a little side story on that because you got to fully obey God to get the full authority. Now, at David's time, both the king and the kingdom were present. Yeah, David was king and there was a kingdom. But one thing was missing out of that king. Within the realm of the kingdom, the spiritual side was missing. God's kingdom is that realm in which the will of God is carried out. Remember that. God's kingdom is the realm. This question might come back to you again. That's why I want to repeat it. I'm defining God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the realm within which the will of God is carried out. Within God's kingdom, you know, there's a king always in the kingdom, but God in that kingdom had the ability to have his full will carried out. That's why God wanted to establish his kingdom, because he got to get his full obedience to get his full will out. See, God can't operate on partial obedience. Partial obedience. You see, not going to get it. You see, God wanted to get his full plan out. So God had to get someone with perfect obedience. He tried Adam, go through Adam. Adam failed. He tried through Noah. Noah couldn't get it straight. Then he chose Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he tried coming through Saul, that's king, to establish a kingdom. Then he found a man after his own heart, which was David. See, the Bible said David fully obeyed him. But he had a kingdom, but yet something was still missing. There was something still missing. But the spiritual substance of the kingdom was missing. He had the natural, all the natural stuff was working, but that was a spiritual substance. God had to yet go further with his kingdom. He had to go further than David to get the spiritual substance in. Now, but one man could carry that spiritual substance that God wanted to carry, and that was the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus came through the lineage of David. You see it? And so God trying to find, not trying to find, he always finds what he wants, but he's establishing full obedience now. But the only way he could establish full obedience, because men couldn't do it. Men couldn't give him the full obedience that he wanted to procure his authority upon this earth. So he had to make somebody like himself. The Lord Jesus came to the world to set up God's kingdom. He was the only one qualified. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he proved out that it could be done in the flesh. He found out that full obedience could be carried out in the flesh. That's why God gave him a body of flesh, because he had to show this earth realm, show men on this earth that it's possible to obey fully within the flesh. Yes, he did. And yes, he could. And he was succeeded with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord set up that kingdom. God's kingdom is the realm within which the will of God is carried out. And I have to bring that forward again. God's kingdom is the realm where the will of God is not only carried out, but fully carried out. You know what that kingdom will is? That kingdom will is that I can establish myself back into the heart of men. I can put the kingdom of God into the heart of men. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That was the scripture said. But I want you to see here that God's kingdom is the realm which God will is it carried out. Remember the prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, thy kingdom come, he said. I think Matthew 6 and 10. He said, thy kingdom come. Jesus said, the disciples want to know, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray. He said, thy kingdom come. Pray this. Thy kingdom come. You're asking the Lord for his kingdom to come. And thy will be done. God saying, he said, pray that God will be done on earth as is already established in heaven. God has an established will in heaven that he's trying to get done on earth. God always got a designed will for himself and for men upon earth to do what he needs done on earth. But he has to have obedience for that divine will to be carried out from heaven to earth. So he said, thy will be done on earth as it is. Jesus said, pray that. Because you got to pray that obedience will come into the hearts of men. Oh, if God could get a people. Oh, if God could get a people that are willing to submit and obey. See, you see, God can do it one person at a time. God could do it one ministry at a time. You see? See, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. And we pray it as a model of prayer sometimes. But God is always, that's not an old-fashioned prayer. God, that's not a textbook prayer. That's not a children's prayer. But it's a prayer that we need to pray every day. Lord, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God is always trying to get his kingdom done upon earth. There's still kingdom work to be done. He still has a designed will in heaven to be done here on earth. And he has to have it come to his children. So, but God can't do it without obedience. And so now Christ has come, and Christ established himself upon the earth to carry out the will of God on the earth. Now, Revelation 12 and 10, the scripture speaks this. He said, now has come salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Excuse me. God's authority, God's power, and God's kingdom can't come without obedience. But it had to come through the authority of Jesus Christ, through his perfect obedience. See, we read the scripture in Philippians that Paul had got the revelation of Christ, how he stripped himself and how he became as a man. Read that in Philippians 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God got to get that same mindset. That same soul thinking that Jesus had, perfect obedience within you. And perfect obedience, sometimes you have to strip yourself of your own old ideas, your own old religious thoughts, the way grandma did it, grandpa did it, the way uncle did it, the way this person did it. No, 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 no. God got a spirit in you. It's not a traditional obedience. It's a fresh obedience all the time. God always gonna ask you to do something fresh. Something you've never done before. And this can't be a tradition. No, it got to be a revelation. Obedience is a revelation. Now, let's look at another scripture. Luke 21 or Luke 17, 21. God said, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's what Jesus had to establish through the cross. Had to be a death on the cross, but it also had to be a resurrection. When Christ resurrected, he was able to resurrect himself in that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwelling in us. And so when he put his spirit of obedience in us, then what happened is that his kingdom is within our hearts. That same kingdom. When the spirit of Christ came, guess what else came? The spirit of obedience came. Now we can't, that's the spirit of obedience in our heart. Now all we gotta do is listen to that spirit of obedience. And that's the Holy Ghost. He always points us and wants us to do the will of God. And all we gotta do is hearken unto his voice. All we gotta do is listen to him. That's all we gotta do. Apostle taught a lesson on yesterday, and you need to listen to that real good over and over again. And he said, how be it in the spirit? It came from 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. How be it in the spirit? You got to catch the revelation. In other words, what is it the spirit want? How be the spirit? What the spirit wants? How would the spirit address this? And so whenever a situation come up, you say, Lord, How be it in the spirit? That's what I want. He said, begin to pray in tongues, because that's concerning the will of God and not your own will, your own desire. And what you're doing, you're getting the will of God done and not your own will, especially things you don't understand. So when you're challenged with a situation in ministry or in life, of you're doing something that requires obedience, say, Lord, how be it in the spirit? And then you go pray in the tongue, and the Holy Ghost can show exactly what the will of God is. And then he said, he used another, I'm not trying to re-preach his message from yesterday, but he used Ephesians 5 and 17. He said, be not drunk with wine, which in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Always, that's always the will of God. And we got to always understand what his will is. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's tied good into my lesson. But I want you to see this. Lord, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom, listen to this. The kingdom is the scope of God's authority. What does that mean? The kingdom is the scope of God's authority. God's authority is the foundation of the kingdom. Now what does that mean? That means the kingdom power, might, it's all backed by God's authority. So it's the scope of his authority. The kingdom is the scope of his authority. The Lord himself actually is the kingdom of God. What did I say? I said the Lord himself actually is the kingdom of God. Now you need to understand that. You need to get a grip on that. All right. So now God is establishing his kingdom. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews 5 with me. Hebrews 5, we're going to begin with verse 8. Now, because you're going to see something now, you got to see this. I can't let you leave this class tonight without you seeing Hebrews 5, verse 8. Hebrews 5 and 8. Look what it says here. It says, though he were a son, who am I talking about? Talking about Jesus. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You mean to tell me, class, that Jesus had to learn obedience himself? Yes, he didn't come to the earth with obedience. God allowed him to go through this process. God permitted him to function in the flesh body and with a flesh will, with a flesh understanding. The Bible said, we have not a high priest that cannot be tempted as we are, but yet he was tempted, yet we are yet without sin. He was able to go through the same challenges that we had. But God warned us to see that in this flesh and bone and blood body that Jesus possessed, he was still able to become victorious even in his flesh. So he had to learn things. God permitted him to learn. Remember, he was God. But God permitted him to learn these things for our sake, not for his sake. God don't need to know anything about it because God knows everything about it. So he had to learn obedience through the things he suffered, through the things he experienced, by the things which he suffered. Now, how much obedience have you learned? Or are you still in suffering? If you're still in suffering, you haven't learned any obedience. If you're still going through the same thing over and over again, you're stuck. You're stuck because you refuse to obey and you refuse to satisfy God in what he's trying to get to you, what he wants you to understand. See, suffering, you're not meant to stay in suffering. What that means? Test, trial, temptation. You're never meant to stay there. God uses it as a tool to train us and to test us and to put some things in us. But if you're still stuck there, that means you're not obeying God like you should. Hear me now. Find out. Ask God. Say, God, where am I missing that? Where am I lacking in my obedience? What is it? What is it that's holding me back? What is it that I don't want to change? What is it that I refuse to submit to? Is it my apostle? Is it my pastor? Is it some of the things God asked me to do? Is it some of the things my pastor's asked me to do and I got my own idea? Am I stuck in the wrong place? Am I not obeying my husband? I'm not listening to my wife? What is it, Lord? Where am I stuck at? and ask the Holy Ghost to show you. And then if you don't mind me using what the apostle taught yesterday, say, Lord, how be it in the spirit? And pray by in the Holy Ghost until the Lord reveals to you that stuck place. There's always a stuck place. Might be in your giving. You might not be tithing. I don't know what it is. You might not be sowing like you should be. I don't know, but God, you know. But God, you're stuck, and you got to get out of that stuck. You're still going through suffering. But Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. I didn't mean to stay there that long, but somebody needs to hear that. And being made perfect, what do you mean made perfect? He passed the test. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus became the epitome, not, I don't know if that's the right word. He became the king of obedience. I don't know if that's a good statement. But Jesus became Lord of all because he was perfectly obeyed the Father, not in some things, but in everything. You see, Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O Father. Then Jesus made another statement, Lord, not my will, in the 26th chapter of Matthew, at the Gethsemane prayer, and when he was tested in the garden. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. You see, now, hanging on the cross, he was tested. He was tested all the way through. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus didn't even complain even about the cross. He nailed in his hands, the nails in his feet, and the crown, the thorns on his head, but he still never complained. Why me, Lord? Why I'm going through this suffering? He knew what the will of the Father was, that, and he submitted to it. And he said, I will be done, Lord, not my will. And the Bible said he suffered death for us. But oh, goodness, on the third day, God raised him from the dead, and God set him at his right hand in heavenly places. And the Bible said we're seated there in heavenly places with Christ. Now, look what else it says now. 5-8, how far I want to go. Let's read the 10th verse. Call of God and high priest after order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That's first I want to go with that. But God has to establish his kingdom. And God always have a plan for his children. Now, listen to this now. Listen to this. As God secured the principle of obedience, listen to me close now. As God secured the principle of obedience through the life of our Lord, so God also established authority through the Lord. Now, let us see how God today established his kingdom on the basis of that authority. The Lord came to this world empty-handed. He did not bring obedience with him. He learned obedience through what he suffered and thus became the source of salvation, of eternal salvation to all who obey him. By going through suffering after suffering, he learned to be obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. When the Lord came forth from the Godhead to become man, he truly became a man, weak and acquainted with suffering. And every suffering he bore ripened into a fruit of obedience. You heard that? Every suffering that Jesus experienced ripened into a suffering of obedience, a fruit of obedience. No suffering of any kind was able to stir him to murmur or fretfulness. I need to stop that. No suffering. Now, I want you to put yourself sometime in what we call suffering is a test, a trial, a situation, a circumstance, a situation that rise up in your life, in your personal life, might be in the ministry, whatever, however it may come, but it's a test, a challenge that come against you. And sometimes Jesus handled his without murmuring or fretting about anything. How you been handling your test and your trial? How you handle it depends how you're going to come out. You see it? You see, if you handle it with faith and with confidence that God is able to deliver you from everything and say, Lord, what is it that you need me to do? And Lord, and you come strong in faith and don't complain about anything, no, God will bring you up. How different from this are the many Christians who fail to learn obedience even after many years. That's what I was talking about earlier. Some Christians get stuck in a in the place of satisfied suffering. Oh, my goodness. They make suffering a way of life. And they become satisfied in suffering. Don't know. They're stuck in somewhere, God trying to get them out. They're stuck in a place of disobedience. But they made it a way of life. That you can't make suffering a way of life. Even after many years, you're still stuck in suffering. Although their suffering increases, their obedience does not. And that's what we're trying to get you out in these class. The obedience got to, something got to change. When suffering comes, they often murmur with anguish, indicating again, they have not yet learned obedience. Jesus never murmured. Jesus never complained. Jesus never said, it's too rough for me. No, because the God he served was able to deliver him. You know, one time when they came to get Jesus out of the garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, don't you know, if I call my father right now, he can send 12 legions of angels and help me? But he did not, because he knew that part of that was part of God's will for him. And you know that if I resist this, then I won't be fulfilling God's will. Sometimes there are certain things you just got to go through. You see it? It might not feel good, but sometimes God's trying to put some things in us. God's trying to show us who he is. And sometimes God says, if you only stopped and depend on me and not depend on these people over here and depend on folks and trust me to get you out, that you might be okay. You don't need nobody to get you out of the stuck sometimes. Sometimes you got to just stay there. You don't need to act that person. I mean, when I got to a place where when I had financial challenges, God said, don't ask another person for help. You know, when you're hurting sometimes, boy, you need help. You know, when my dad was living, you know, I always go to him. He always kept a few dollars. And I would just ease my way up to him and hit him up for a few dollars. God said, don't you make nobody your source no more but me. See, I was going through suffering and tests. God was trying to get me out of financial dependency on people. So what is God trying to get you out of that you're still stuck on people and you don't want to go through this thing with just you and God? See, there's tests you got to pass. But as the Lord passed through all kinds of suffering and tests, he continually exhibits the spirit of obedience. And so he has become the source of our eternal salvation. By the obedience of one man, many have received grace. Our Lord's obedience is for the sake of God's kingdom. You see it? The aim of redemption is to further the kingdom of God. The aim of redemption, that Jesus purchased is the same aim that should be your purpose. Is that to further the kingdom of God. See, we've gotten to the place where it's all about us. It's not so much the least bit about us. It's about, I just come to understand. It's about what God wants. It's about what the kingdom wants. And you know, when you satisfy the criteria of satisfying God's kingdom and not your own personal will, your own personal way, then God can't take care of yours. Yeah, I will always go to the scripture, and you all know it well, Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added. So if you take care of God's will, God's going to take care of your needs and all the things that you desire. So I challenge you as a class. I challenge you to handle the test, handle the trials, because it's working out for your good. God is trying to get us somewhere. God is trying to, if obedience increase, I mean, if suffering increase, the obedience should increase. If your suffering continue and you get stuck, that means somewhere you're not obeying God fully. You got to get to the place where God becomes your source and everything. Class, it's been a good class. I hope you understand what God is trying to do. God is vaguely trying to establish his kingdom through you. Yeah, you have a part in the kingdom to play, but he got to use you. And you got to have obedience in you. It's not just trying to lord over somebody, but it's trying to soften our heart enough where you can say, yeah, Lord, thy will be done. Yeah, Lord. And speak the words that Jesus spoke in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to echo those words. Lord, not my will, but let thy will be done. Class, with good teaching, I want you to go in peace.